You're listening to Reality Sandwich Radio, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, body, spirit, and our planet, community, and economy. To learn more about the Healthful Living model, go to healthfulliving.org. Reality Sandwich is hosted by Julie Matthews, Certified Nutrition Consultant, and Martin Matthews, Certified Medical Hypnotherapist. Past episodes of Reality Sandwich are available for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. You've reached Reality Sandwich. I'm Julie Matthews, a certified nutrition consultant, and you're listening to our Healthful Living radio show, Reality Sandwich, on every Thursday at noon on KPOO 89.5 FM. If you are interested in this show or any past shows, you can listen to them for free download at realitysandwichradio.com. I'm, as you know, Julie Matthews, and a certified nutrition consultant, and we do lots of topics on health of the body, mind, spirit, our planet. And this week we're going to do a wonderful health topic that everybody always has questions on, and that's teeth and dental health. And we are going to be speaking to a wonderful practitioner and holistic healer. Her name is Rupam Henry. She spent the last 20 years in general and pediatric dentistry as a registered dental assistant, and she has spent 30 years in the alternative healing arts as well as a health educator, holistic health educator. So we are going to hopefully answer all your questions today about the health of the mouth, your teeth, dentistry, and maybe hopefully dispel some of the myths that you've had about what's true and what's not true in the whole world of dentistry. So firstly, I want to welcome you here, Rupam.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So let me just have you start by giving a bio of yourself, kind of what you've done in the industry as well. I know you have a very interesting kind of family background.
That's right. I have a unique position in the way that I've worked both angles or both sides. I've worked, as she said, for 20 years in conventional dentistry, general as well as pediatric. And also, I have a really large background in herbalism, color therapy, meditation, more of the alternative route. And I also come from 13 generations of herbalists and pharmacists, so that's actually really where my passion is. Mm. So I am hoping to bridge the best of the conventional with alternative approaches.
Great. And I've heard Rupam speak before, which is why she's on today, and she's wonderful. And lots of myths that we don't know about that I hope we will dispel today. So I'm looking forward to that. Let's see. Where is a good place to start? I have so many questions. This is a good one. Maybe we can start with something simple like lemons and lemon juice. I always find this kind of interesting. Many of us in the alternative world have heard that lemons are very, very alkalizing and they're very good for the body. And so many of us will drink lemon juice in the morning with some water for elimination and digestion and getting all of that alkaline system going, but not necessarily so great for the mouth. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Exactly. Basically, lemon juice, especially lemon juice in, say, warm water first thing in the morning is fantastic. The problem with it is that if you don't rinse out your mouth with water afterwards, your mouth anyway stays very acidic for 30 to 40 minutes. And if you especially, say, brush your teeth right after, there are problems. Mainly because for 30 to 40 minutes after you put anything in your mouth besides water turns into an acidic environment, starting the digestive process in the mouth. So many of us have heard that it's a great practice to brush your teeth every time you have breakfast, lunch, etc. It's actually not such a great idea. It's better to rinse out your mouth with water, wait 30 to 40 minutes before you brush, or really for most people to brush twice is sufficient. And if you have eaten something that's acidic, like lemon water or tomatoes, orange juice, vinaigrettes for salad, things like that, it's really important not to brush right away. The enamel and the dentin are in a more vulnerable position to be hurt by actually brushing. Especially in dental professionals, we've seen a lot of damage done to the dentin, the enamel, close to the gum line. It looks almost like somebody has taken an axe to a tree and basically almost took away enamel, we then have to actually fill. It's a class 5 composite filling. We have to fill all those areas that, you know, basically have enamel missing. And then you're talking about teeth sensitivity, closer to the gums, a little bit of recession maybe going on, and the teeth become extremely sensitive.
Wow. That was always one of the ones that was most interesting when I heard that, because so many of us feel that. You know, I remember when I worked in the corporate world, there would be particular people that would have a toothbrush in their desk, and every time I saw them in the bathroom, they were brushing their teeth.
Exactly. And it's a much better thing to just rinse out with water, vigorously rinsing out with water, and just letting your mouth, you know, going back to the alkaline state.
Great. What in terms of, we hear a lot about different types of toothpaste, and we'll get to fluoride in a little bit, but since we're kind of on the topic of dental hygiene, can we talk about toothpaste in general? I know that there's some things around the different types that are out there and glycerin and other things. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that.
Okay. I would say about a year and a half ago, I've come across some research that talked about the glycerin in toothpaste. And if you look at the ingredient list, I would say just about in every toothpaste, the second ingredient is glycerin. As herbalists, we know that glycerin is a really gooey, sticky substance. And it sticks to your teeth, and it would take you 20 times to rinse out your mouth to actually get it off the teeth. The problem is it actually hinders the re-enamelization of your teeth in the process, meaning the mouth turning back into an alkaline state, it takes longer. And also, it's a little tricky because the glycerin on your teeth, if you go and check your teeth with your tongue to see if you got all the plaque off, it will feel nice and slippery and mirror glass-like, and you think, fantastic, 10 seconds later, I've done a great job. If you do the same thing without toothpaste, it will feel fuzzy, and most people think, oh, well, it's because I need toothpaste to make my teeth clean. Mm. That's not really true. You don't need toothpaste to clean your teeth. Most of the toothpaste is a delivery of taste, of, you know, the tingly, fresh sensation that we like. For a huge percentage of the dental professionals, they want you to have fluoride in the toothpaste. So that's most of the reasons. I have now, about 4 months ago, I've made a new product, which I call Tooth Soap. The main ingredient is soap. And the really cool thing about that is that people that have gum involvement, it will actually help to reduce the bacterial load in the mouth. So some of those pockets, for people that have periodontal disease, actually it will go into those pockets and kill the bacteria, which is a fantastic thing because those pockets, those gum pockets, you know, especially if they're more than 3 millimeters, you cannot physically reach them with the toothbrush or the floss. So that's a really nice side effect.
So soap, I'm thinking that's not tasting so good.
I know what you mean.
And also, just in the thought of it, it seems like we would need something, I don't know, more gentle. So what is the research or the information on using something like this for your teeth and for your gums? I don't know if you have any more.
You know, the one thing that I said, the cutting down the load of bacteria, just how we use soap on our hands. It's not that different in our mouth. And I know the whole thing about washing out your mouth with soap, you know, has everybody cringing.
Right.
But what I do is I actually also add essential oils, essential oil of myrrh, cinnamon, clove, all great for gums and teeth, spearmint, peppermint, people can choose. And actually you only need one drop of it. And you get used to it quickly.
Okay.
And I've just heard from a lot of people who had especially problems with their gums that it really helped them.
Wow, that's great. What about talking about, since we're on still on the topic of the hygiene, what about brushing technique? I know this is always big. And actually, you have a workshop coming up as well, right?
Right. The 29th of October. It's in San Rafael out of my home office. And basically, we'll spend the whole day, about 6 hours, and just I'm attempting to answer as many questions as I can about procedures, materials, home care. I will actually demonstrate brushing. We teach this now to our children, but really almost no general practitioner takes time out to teach adults. So many times when I go, you know, disclose teeth like I do for children and adults, I see that, you know, we really haven't been taught how to brush our teeth correctly.
Right. So you're going to be teaching that in your class. And people can find more at your website?
Correct.
Rupam Herbals. That's RUPAMHERBALS.com. All right. That sounds, I think that that is really important because most of us assume by this point we know how to brush, and maybe
exactly.
It feels a little bit funny to ask how to brush your teeth at this age.
Exactly.
But I can imagine that that's a really huge piece of having good teeth health and gum health is being able to understand the appropriate way to do that.
Exactly. And when you asked a little bit about the brushing technique, it's a little bit to just say it with words. But the best way to explain it is you want to go with your toothbrush, your bristles, a 45-degree angle into the gums with a little pressure, and then think more of massaging, not scrubbing. When you're at the where the tooth meets the gum, you really want to do little circles massaging into the gums. And the only place you can really scrub is the surface of your teeth where you're biting, away from the gums.
Well, thank you.
Soft toothbrush only.
Yes. So how about, let's just talk a little bit about natural substances in terms of what can really help strengthen the teeth or and the gums. What types of, whether it's herbs or holistic types of therapies, are there out there that people might not be aware of?
Boy, there are actually many. The main reason being that, and this is, most people don't know this. European dentists seem to be more clued to this particular piece, is that every tooth in our mouth is connected to an organ or an area of our body. So that's huge information when it comes to, let's say you're going to the dentist and the dentist is working on a particular tooth and he might tell you, wow, that's really close to the nerve. If you can work with the organ that's connected to that particular tooth and strengthen the organ, let's say with herbs or with color therapy, you will indirectly impact the tooth in its healing. That's one big piece. There are flower essences that will help to strengthen the enamel, to strengthen the gum health, to strengthen the bone health. There is a huge piece is the digestive organs. Our teeth and gums are basically our first digestive organ. So if we can really pay attention to our body in the ways of that we support the digestion and it being in balance, have a huge impact on our teeth and gums.
Let's talk about chewing, since that's such an important part of the digestive process.
If in this fast age, you know, people could sit down and chew and eat slowly and really start that digestive process going with the saliva and chewing a lot, you know, again, it actually strengthens the teeth. It actually strengthens the gums.
That makes sense.
That action. There are also some Taoist exercises like teeth clicking, massaging the gum points, you know, on the outside of the mouth close to the lip. So there are some fantastic techniques, which I will go over. Obviously, it's not easy to explain
this. Right. But you're going to be teaching that at your workshop.
I will be. Yeah.
Great. Let's talk about amalgam fillings because, you know, I work a lot with children, especially children with autism, and many of us in that field know that how dangerous mercury is. But in terms of the average person, we assume that if we're putting, if the dentist is putting amalgam fillings in, then they clearly must be safe. And every time you go to the dentist, you hear how it's safe. So I would love to just get the other perspective and some other truth to that.
Yeah, that's a real controversial one. I mean, first of all, I have to acknowledge that for the longest time, we didn't have another material out there that came even close to doing what amalgam, the silver fillings, can do. You have to imagine it's like building a Swiss watch underwater, and the Swiss watch is not supposed to get wet. So our teeth are always in a wet environment, and many materials would be maybe fantastic for our body, but they will not stick if it is placed in a wet environment. So dentistry over the last 100 years has come a far way. We didn't have anything else but silver fillings, and it worked fantastic in the ways of, didn't matter if it was a wet area. because it doesn't adhere to the dent and it just sits in there, like it fills the space. So we prepare the tooth in a certain way that it has undercuts and the silver, the amalgam, stays in there. So, I mean, at this point, many, many dentists don't really work with amalgam anymore. But still, you know, the dental professionals pretty much stay on the opinion that it's totally fine and it doesn't do anything. And if, you know, if you want to Google it, look it up, there are so many researches out now that are connecting it to depression, connecting it to lower IQ. I mean, there is so much out there. Mm-hmm. And truth be told, the most mercury exposure you will get is having the filling placed or it be taken out. So somebody that goes, oh, I'm going to have everything taken out in one sitting, you're getting a huge exposure to mercury. So it's a much safer way to, let's say, have one quadrant at a time, meaning, let's say, upper right. If you have two fillings in there, you know, have to get the dentist go in there, have a rubber dam placed, which basically means you have a rubber piece placed around where you just have those two teeth sticking out. Have the assistant there with high suction. Have the assistant being on that amalgam prep full on with water the entire time so it doesn't go airborne. And that's basically the safest way to take it out.
What about dentists and dental assistants and things? Do they have a big exposure to mercury because they're placing all of these fillings all the time?
Yeah, we used to, especially in the days where we didn't wear any gloves. So this is not that long time ago.
Wow.
You know? And I would say, you know, dental profession and the professionals are often, they're battling with depression, a lot of it. It's a high-stress environment. You know, people come in there, pain involved, don't want to be there. So it's on all angles a high-stress situation.
Sure.
So, yeah, definitely.
Wow.
I mean, I did a detox myself with milk, thistle, and herbs. And I had, for 3 weeks, I had a metallic taste in my mouth.
Wow.
So, I've worked in the dental profession now for a long time. Most of the time, luckily, not around amalgam.
Oh, great.
I just came across beautiful dentists that had decided a long, long time ago not to work with amalgam.
Wow. Yeah, I had heard a long time ago that dentists have the highest suicide rate, and I always found that strange until I learned about all the things that mercury can do, and it made sense that they probably are fairly toxic from all this exposure to the vapor.
It definitely makes you think.
Yeah.
You know, and I know there's a lot of controversial information out there, but it does make you think.
So I, at a conference that I was at on autism, there was a researcher from, his name was Boyd Haley, or his name is Boyd Haley, and he was talking about the amount of off-gassing that happens from chewing. If you have a mouthful of amalgam fillings, you off-gas quite a bit of that mercury, and basically it's being inhaled and can go directly to the brain, so that's always kind of a scary thing. And but then, of course, like you said, people will then panic, which I understand. I felt the same way when I learned, and want to run out and have them all removed. And then, of course, don't realize that there's a really special way that you want to do that. You don't want to just go and have them removed by anybody.
That's right. And you can go through a heavy metal detox. There are some, you know, there are some substances out that will help you. Milk thistle and burdock, that connection, you know, that combination is a really nice way to go. And there's some other things. Zeolites are making a really strong appearance on the market right now. So, and it would take too much to go into that. But there are substances that will help you to detox from that.
Mm-hmm. And that is a good point, that when you hear about all the scary things that mercury causes, everything. I mean, the biggest thing, I think, is the brain damage, the damage to the nerve cells and the brain cells. And of course, for developing fetuses and children, that really can have lifelong implications. So when you start to learn about that, if you can do this detox before you get pregnant, that's one of the things I teach in my preconception preparation class, which is how to do some of this detox ahead of time so that you can get that burden down so that you don't have all this exposure. So the good news is, when you hear about some of the scary things involved with mercury, it is very, very possible to go ahead and do a detox and get a lot of that mercury removed. But you definitely want to seek some assistance from somebody that knows what they're doing, because if you stir up mercury too quickly, your body still needs to then excrete it. And if it stirs it all up in the bloodstream and then can't excrete it, then you end up with more damage or more burden on the system. So
exactly. Digestive organs should be functioning really well. Mm-hmm. The liver has to be working really well, because, you know, whatever you're flushing out, your body has to find a way where it can detox and let it go in mm-hmm. a really good way. You know, people that are, let's say, constipated or the liver isn't working very well, I would not do a detox.
Yes.
It would make you really, really sick, not feeling that good. And the body isn't really detoxing.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're just suddenly having all that stuff in the bloodstream, not a good way.
Right. In fact, the worse you feel is more of an indication that you aren't able to detox it quickly enough and maybe do a slower detox or something
exactly.
like that. I actually have a far infrared sauna in my office, and that's a nice way to detox because you're bypassing some of the organs.
Yes.
And you're going straight through the skin, which is a nice way to complement a detox program.
Exactly. Sauna is fantastic for that.
So everyone out there, I guess the point to this is to definitely consider, if you have these amalgams, to look into removing them, but also understand that you want to do so in a safe manner. And then if you are having fillings placed, be very, very cautious, especially if you're pregnant. I would, I'm not a dentist, so I can't make any recommendations per se, but be very cautious not to place or to get too much exposure or any exposure during pregnancy. So what do dentists normally do if a pregnant woman comes in? Are they aware of that and they will place another type of filling, or will they wait until the pregnancy is complete and the baby's born?
Yeah, definitely, because every dentist has to take a medical record, you know, when, especially if a pregnant woman comes in. Mm-hmm. Definitely. It's one of the first questions we ask. If we absolutely have to take, say, for instance, an x-ray, we double apron the woman. Most of the time, that's only for emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, unless it's an emergency, I definitely wouldn't do dental work if you are pregnant, unless something breaks down and you have to deal with it. Deal with that one tooth and wait till you're finished. That would be the safest way to go, really.
Okay, great. So I want to just take a quick break. If anybody's interested in calling in and having your questions answered, you can call us at 346-5376, and that's, again, 415-346-5376. We can take your calls right now off the air and answer some of your questions. And then I'd love to come back and talk a little bit more about pregnancy and the importance of health, the health of the teeth during that period of time. So we will be right back.
Here I am, here we are, as it will go on forever. Noise, always noise. Candles burn, lights are low. I haven't a place to go. Life in its constant state of moving nowhere. The music is nice, floats through the air. Sounds of waves crashing everywhere. Percussive submissions, mind conditions, writing with a left hand, unknowing and taking the chance. Why not fly? Why not try? This constant game I play to stay high. But all is just a state of mind. All is reality of your choice. Constant evolution, constant adaptation, constant state of moving nowhere. Footsteps, silence is loud, kindness is brave, wisdom is long, loving is necessary. I need it, we need it. Searching, looking for satisfaction, it is nowhere, it is everywhere. Pleading, pleading. Praying,
for God to come. What are we waiting for? Why are we so afraid of taking charge? But it's always changing, always in the constant state of going nowhere. We all have demons to battle, roads to walk, crosses to bear, mistakes and sins, candles and their steady glow, water and its constant crash, endless horizon, rocks of times long gone, still strong, still here, and so are we. Here we are, forever, the constant state of going nowhere. Constant state of going nowhere. Constant state of going nowhere. Constant state of moving nowhere.
You are listening to 89.5 FM KPOO. This is Reality Sandwich with Julie Matthews and Rupam Henry, and we are talking about dental health today. And we just had a call from Kay. I took the call off the air because we need an engineer to assist us here, and so we're doing it this way today. And she was basically asking about teeth grinding. She said that she wanted to know if there's anything that you could do except a night guard, or maybe if you can just talk also about teeth grinding and any pain or tension associated with that on the jaw and what people might want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's rampant. It's even in our children. A lot of it has to do with just distress, you know, us trying to deal with stress. So one of the things that I would suggest when somebody is a tooth grinder, and getting a night guard might have to happen for a while, just because, you know, if it happens at night and we're unconscious and we're sleeping, we have no control over doing it or not doing it. So that would be protecting the teeth for the time being. And the thing that I would, or the procedures that I would recommend in that, is I probably would start feeding the nervous system with herbs. And I also would probably recommend seeing a network chiropractor. I've seen fantastic results with that because, you know, when we clench, it's just a lot of tension in that area around the TMJ, all those muscles. We don't realize how powerful those muscles are.
Mm.
You know, these biting muscles. So we can do a lot of damage. And definitely when you wake up and you've been clenching all night, everything is going to be sore.
Mm.
And you can make your teeth sore. It's almost like bruising your teeth.
Wow.
So the night guard might be an option. And then, you know, checking out those other avenues, getting the nervous system toned so we can deal better with the stress, maybe some amino acids, and then maybe, you know, seeing a network chiropractor.
Great. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I wanted to go back because before the break we were talking about pregnancy, and I wanted to get an understanding. I know that the hormones change and the chemistry of the mouth to some extent changes. What do people want to know before they get pregnant and when they get pregnant in terms of dental health?
I would say, you know, foremost, it's to have your dental hygiene down, meaning you know how to brush correctly, you floss, because definitely things are going to be inflamed. Gingivitis is more likely to happen in that time. Good nutrition, of course, is really important. But basically, you know, that's all you can do. Just nourish yourself really nicely. The whole dairy and calcium myth, I want to break that a little bit down, especially since most dairy products are pasteurized milk, really hard for people to digest, usually creates a lot of mucus. So if you love dairy, and I do, nothing against dairy, do it in a raw organic form.
Mm.
You know, raw organic cheeses, organic yogurt. I don't really gulp down milk myself. I am more yogurt and raw cheeses. But that is a fantastic way to get calcium, but not in its pasteurized form. The other way that is really nice and a lot of calcium, easily digestible, is nuts and seeds. The best way to eat nuts and seeds is to soak them overnight for 12 hours. It will actually change the fat content to protein content, meaning 75% fat will turn into 75% protein if you soak a nut or a seed.
Mm. The texture is definitely different in the flavor, yeah. too. They're sweeter that way.
And it's very easy to digest that way.
Mm-hmm. So, in fact, for anybody listening, I teach a class that I'll be teaching in November, on November 12th, where we talk all about soaking our nuts and soaking our grains and things. And actually, we're going to talk about raw dairy and making your own raw yogurt. So a lot of the principles you just talked about. That's always a little bit of a tough one for people, is the concept of pasteurized versus raw. Could you give just maybe a sentence or two on what it is about the pasteurization process that's problematic, or what about the raw process is beneficial?
Yeah, if you pasteurize your dairy, like your milk or your yogurt, basically the enzymes are destroyed, and the enzymes in that yogurt or in the cheese are helping you to digest it. So the moment you change it in such a deep way, it just sits very differently in your body. It's almost treated like a foreign substance. It's not really recognized the same way. And that's true also for supplements. You know, if the supplements are too far away from real food, your body doesn't quite know how to assimilate them.
Right. Which is the nice thing about herbs, and we'll be getting to talk a little bit more about herbs in a little while here, so we can get something in its more natural form.
Right. And there's fantastic herbs. I mean, easy to make. You can cook with them. Let's just say nettles. Mm. Nettles is like this big, huge multivitamin mineral pill shot, you know. And it tastes a little bit, in its fresh form, it tastes a little bit like spinach. So it's super yummy. Mm-hmm. You can, in the moment you either steam it or put it in a soup, it loses its sting. Obviously, you cannot eat it fresh because it'll sting the heck out of you. But the moment you put it in a soup, or you even dry it and make a tea out of it, fantastic. Hmm. Really fantastic. Especially great for pregnancy.
Yes, yes. We talk about that frequently, so I'm glad to hear it's good for the teeth and everything as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting that what typically makes a person healthy also helps with the teeth and helps with pregnancy. I mean,
exactly. It's all connected.
Right, right. Yeah. So let's talk about fluoride somewhat, because this is the one I often have a difficult time dispelling this myth, because we've heard so many times and so frequently how essential and important it is. So I'd love to hear your perspective on this topic.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's just because it's so controversial, and because the dental community pretty much will fight you, quote unquote, tooth and nail on this, because that's what they have been taught. There is a ton of controversial information out there. The one that spoke the loudest to me was the whole connection of that fluoride actually breaks the blood-brain barrier, that it's connected to lower IQ, it's connected to ADD, ADHD. And when you look at the group of us that actually receives or is in the line of receiving most of the fluoride, is our children. So that, my entire guidance system basically told me, okay, I need to stay far away from this as much as I can, especially because our entire water system here in the Bay Area is fluoridated. It's really, really hard to get fluoride out of the water. You would have to either distill the water or get a reverse osmosis filter. And I say again and again to people, don't believe me. Just, you know, find out information, read the information. You know, you're aware of what the dentist and the dental community tells you, and then just see where all this information sits in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want to risk having your children, you know, go and have fluoride treatments all the time, knowing that we get it all the time? If you go out to the restaurant, even if you're eating organically, you have the good filtered water, still, you will get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a personal choice, and it's not an easy one.
Mm-hmm. How, I don't know if you know this, but how this misinformation got started, is there something about natural fluoride that's good where the artificial type isn't, or any sense of where all of this came from?
Boy, it's a, I mean, in my mind, it's a really deep one. It goes deep in the ways of politics, money, education. You know, our pharmaceutical companies are very closely connected to our educators, the educators that are educating our dentists and doctors to be. They're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really, it's a tricky subject, because it's connected to money, no doubt.
Sure. And you know, of course, these most dentists, of course, have the patient's best interest at
heart.
They may just not be educated on this side.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, tell me more about if you tend to be one of these dentists that is outside of the regular system of beliefs, that must be difficult for them as far as their license goes or that kind of thing as well, I'm guessing.
It is tough because you are licensed by, you know, in this, the state of California, and there are regulations. And if you don't follow those regulations, you're basically told you're practicing below par, below standard, you know, and you can get your license pulled. Mm. So it's a tricky concept, you know. That's why, in my mind, having you have the information, read through the information, see where it sits and make your own personal choice and then come with this personal choice to your dentist, that's the easiest way to go. And they will probably still push you for that. Now, you probably will have a conversation with every single person in the office around the fluoride.
Right.
That's what they have to do.
Right.
They're taught that. They absolutely believe that that's true, and I understand it.
That's a good point, because when I go to the dentist, I always ask when they do the polishing to not use the fluoride. And she now has in my chart, my hygienist has, that I just want some pumice or, you know, something for abrasion.
Exactly.
And she's happy to do it.
Exactly.
It's just that if I didn't ask, then she would do what they normally do for everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, when people ask me what dentist they should go to, I say, you know what, any dentist that does great dentistry, you know, does beautiful work, likes their job, is, you know, pleasant to be around, and actually wants to work with you, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be an alternative dentist.
Right.
If you have your information and you know where you're at, you can go anywhere, which
right.
is really good.
So for people that haven't heard about the concept with all of the fluoride, you can go to my website and there's an article from the Greater Boston Physicians about fluoride and some of the myths. And it's very interesting to see that in societies where they do and don't fluoridate their water, there's actually no difference in the amount of cavities. And so they're showing that fluoride isn't protecting against cavities, and also talks about some of the negative things. And so you can actually go to that's healthfulliving.org, and I believe it's in the children's health section, actually, with some of the environmental toxins. So you can get more information. I definitely agree. You've heard one side of the story. Do some more reading and kind of see what really feels comfortable for you and your family. Because like you said, it's not only in teeth products and when you go to the dentist, but it's in some doctors even give fluoride tablets to kids if the area is not fluoridated water. And we can't really, it's very difficult to escape it.
Exactly. And it's funny because, well, it's not funny really, but, you know, dentistry, even conventional dentistry now has changed its spiel around fluoride because we used to push it systemically, meaning drinking it, you know, tablets and all that. And now just of late, dentistry is saying that actually the topical is what does it. So they're already backtracking. But when you think about the topical, you know, how we have open mucosa in our mouth, everything is systemic within minutes.
Right.
So there is no such a thing. The moment you put it in the mouth, it's systemic. It's not topical anymore.
Wow. What about the concepts of root canals? This is always another big one. And, you know, of course, I guess the alternative to root canal might be having the tooth pulled. I'm not sure. So that doesn't seem like a great solution for a lot of people. What can you say about root canals?
You know, for myself as a holistic health educator, every client that comes to me, that's why I'm so keen on home care, because that's basically one of the toughest decisions to make, is the whole root canal versus extracting deal. So I try to support people as much as I can to not having to make that choice, first of all. Now, once you are at that point, I also look where the tooth is at. Basically, if it is a back molar, it's not an aesthetic point, you know, nobody sees it. You have another molar there. It wouldn't really damage or your capacity to chew. I probably would tend to go to extraction. The reason I say that is because root canals on an energetic level, as I said, all our teeth are connected to organs like reflexology points in hands and feet. If you have a dead tooth, a stagnant tooth, on a point like that, it can create disturbances in the organ. And my mom was a really great example for that, because she had ongoing bladder infections for a couple of years. Nobody could figure out what was going on with her till she went to Germany and had an exam and just happened to tell the dentist that she had another bladder infection. She wasn't comfortable being there. And he said, how long has this been going on? And so she told him a little bit about her history. And he said, you know what? I'm going to take an x-ray of this tooth that's connected to the bladder meridian. Mm. And sure enough, that tooth had died.
Wow.
The moment that tooth was removed, she has no longer any kind of problems with her bladder. So to me, that really drove the point home.
Wow, that's really amazing.
And she is she is very aware of the energetics. She works like that. She works with vibrational remedies. So it makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. you know, that it has an impact on that level. The more clinical impact is that, you know, even if you are trying, and some of the roots are really hard to fill all the way, you basically have a minute infection going on. Even though the nerve has been removed, there's still often, you know, our little roots, especially in molars, have little curves and corners.
Mm.
There's no way we can go in there with instruments. Mm-hmm. So there will be an inflammation going on often for years.
Mm.
You know, again, it's an organ point. And then there's also connections to cancer. I mean, because again, once you're dealing with a stagnancy,
mm-hmm.
cells can mutate. You know, it can become cancerous. So there is a lot of information out there that make you not so keen to a going root canal route.
Mm.
And again, it's a tough decision. You know,
sure.
If it's a tooth up front, how do you restore it?
Right. You know? Great.
So then you're going further. You're going implants versus bridges versus so.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about herbs and some of the great herbs that can be really helpful for gum health, because I know that's a big issue for most people that end up at the dentist. It's always more about it's a little gingivitis or some inflammation and that kind of thing. So what are some of the good things that people can do?
Again, it starts out with good home care. You want to remove the plaque so you don't have an irritant there that keeps your gums inflamed. That's key. And if somebody has troubles or problems with their gums, as in periodontal disease or pockets, there's a great formula out called IPSAB. It's IPSAB. It's a prickly ash tincture. It's an Edgar Cayce formula. And you can get it in, like, say, Whole Foods or Good Earth and almost any health food store. They'll have it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's IP, P as in Peter, S-A-B. And it's a really nice. Basically, what you do is you put a little bit on your finger and you massage it into your gums, and it will basically support the circulation of the gums.
Mm, that's
great. That's what you want. You want those little hairy attachments to grow back.
Okay. And can they grow back?
They can.
Wow.
Yeah, they can, with massaging, with keeping your gums and your teeth clean. Absolutely.
Great. And then we talked about digestive bitters on another
yes.
show that we did. What can you talk about those?
That would be the other one. At this point, I carry a formula called Swedish Bitters. And it's an ancient remedy. The formula I brought from Europe, it's 500 years old. And one of its key supports is it really supports the digestive system. It really harmonizes all organ function, but especially our elimination organs like the digestion, like the liver. It's a fantastic support for the liver. It also works on the heart. I've had people that were pre-diabetic turn normal within 6 months, also had high blood pressure turn normal in within 6 months. Digestive organs get supported pretty much right away. I would say within a few days, you'll know a difference.
Hmm.
And in that way, it's really helpful when it comes to problems with gums and teeth, because you're now supporting digestive organs.
Wow. And what do people do? Do they take this orally? Do they just swish it around? Or
it's a tincture. Mm-hmm. And you can swish in your mouth to help your gums,
mm-hmm.
because it will also help the circulation of the gums. It also will cut down on the bacterial load in the mouth.
Mm.
And then you swallow it. Fantastic to support your immune system, your digestion. Again,
mm-hmm.
it helps your whole balance of your system.
Sure. I like the Swedish bitters. It's certainly a very bitter flavor, but it's not a bad flavor. It's just a very bitter flavor.
You know, the thing about mm-hmm. the bitter is when you think and when you look of what tastes we use every taste except mm-hmm. the bitter,
right.
especially in American culture. And we need to use all tastes. They're meant to be used.
Mm-hmm.
And the bitter quality is, what I said, is really supportive to digestion, liver, and heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot of people that come to me have liver disturbances, although to them it doesn't look like that. It might come as sleeping disturbances. It might come as anger and frustration. That's the emotion connected to that organ. It might be eye problems. The eyes and the liver are connected. Lots and lots and lots of digestive problems, for sure.
Mm.
And it's because we don't have the bitter in our diet that really gets the bile going, to get all the gastric juices going.
Right.
We don't use it. And not only that, we use all the sweet and the sugar and the flour,
right,
which is the other extreme.
Exactly.
So now we find ourselves as a culture out of balance.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that in other cultures, in other cultures, they frequently do this, which is give babies a little bit of bitter flavor as they get older and start eating more food, because it helps to balance the sweet tooth and the need for sweet. And if you notice, in our culture, we don't do that.
Exactly. And when you look at a real good chamomile, like a medicinal chamomile tea, it's very bitter.
Mm.
Fantastic for kids.
Yeah.
Colics, digestive problems, you know.
Hmm. Very interesting.
So, yeah, the bitter element is super important.
Great. In our last few minutes here, we have about 5 more minutes, I wanted to find out, I know that there's some questions around what do people do if they do need to get a filling placed, or what do people do about these sealants and all these different types of procedures and things. What can you say about those?
Well, I work with people when they come to my consultations or the class of how to get yourself ready if you have procedures done or your children. I love working with flower essences, and one of my favorite flower essences for that is the Rescued Remedy by Bach. And again, you can buy that anywhere in health food stores. So kids are fantastic. I mean, I've had kids totally lose it in the dental chair, and I would give them a little water with the Rescue Remedy, and I would calm down, and I'd be able to speak with them, and they actually allowed us to do things.
Hmm.
So that's a great support. Also, I would take vitamin C just to help, you know, just the whole stress level being in a dental office.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very vulnerable spot to be, you know, sitting in a dental chair and have all these things done. It's scary for most people.
Mm-hmm.
The amino acids that you might be able to take for if you're nervous and anxious being in a dental chair is GABA.
Mm.
GABA is a muscle relaxant, and it's also anti-anxiety. Another nice amino acid that you can take is D-L-phenylalanine. It's our brain chemistry that takes care of our pain, emotional as well as physical. Vitamin C I mentioned already. I definitely hydrate. I drink a lot of water, you know, to be able to also detox from the anesthesia. Topical. the shot that you get when you're there. Some people, because it makes them feel so bad, they try to go without it. It's unless you have some place inside of yourself where you can go and not jerk and be completely calm, it's not so easy for the dentist because they're suffering with you. So
right.
If they know that you're in pain and you're showing it and you're twitching, and it makes it really hard
sure.
to work.
Yeah.
So, and you can detox it from it, you know, from it pretty quickly. Then the Swedish bitters, I tell people before and after to get the liver going, because all of that has to go through the liver.
Great. So what? Anything else in our last couple minutes in terms of other most commonly asked questions and things that you want people to know before we end today?
I'm thinking for children. It's a good idea to bring your child age 3 to the dentist just for them to have a quick look. Because many times, especially if it's the first child, you might do practices that might be harmful to the teeth and you're not realizing.
Mm.
For instance, the sippy cups.
Ah.
You know, if you have even a little bit of juice in there with water in a sippy cup and the child is drinking it all day long, you're basically having the child in an acidic, the mouth in an acidic environment all day long.
Mm.
If you think that it takes 40 minutes to go back to an alkaline state. So I saw a lot of children age 3, age 4, that basically had all their front teeth rotting out because they had been on a sippy cup, you know, with a little bit of juice. The sippy cup really only should be water. And I strongly recommend that you don't give your child juice. Don't even get them hooked on it because it's so hard to get them off it. You know, they want the sweetness in the water.
Sure.
So if they're used to good water, especially in something like a sippy cup, that would be much better. I mean, if you have something like a juice, have them take it with the meal because the mouth is already in an acidic environment, and then take it away. Mm-hmm. Don't have them drink it all day long.
Right, right. Okay. Well, you have been listening to KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM. We've been talking to Rupam Henry, and her website, if you want some more information on her products, her tooth soap, the Swedish bitters, her upcoming workshop that she has, you can go to rupamherbals.com. Again, that's R-U-P-A-M, as in Mary, herbals.com. And I just wanted to thank you for being on today.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Julie Matthews, Certified Nutrition Consultant with Healthful Living. If you want any more information on our past shows, or if you'd like a copy of this one, you can go to our website at realitysandwichradio.com. And if you'd like any more information on my services for nutrition or the upcoming classes that I have, you can go to healthfulliving.org. That's HEALTHFULLIVING. Thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Reality Sandwich on 89.5 KPOO, San Francisco. This show and any past shows of Reality Sandwich are available for free download at realitysandwichradio.com, where you can also read about upcoming shows. To learn more about Julie Matthews or Martin Matthews, go to healthfulliving.org. Thanks for listening.